goes into the seminar and investigates the humor of the subjects with the help of Alfred Lux. The two chaps who firmly believed in reincarnation, and when one of them was dying, his pal sat at his bedside, and he said, "You're going to come back, aren't you?" He said, "Oh, yes, no doubt about that. I'm going to come back." He said, "No doubt about it. I firmly believe in reincarnation." He said, "No," he said, "on the first anniversary of my death, I want you to go to a seance, get in touch with me, and I'll tell you what it's like." He said, "Sure, okay." So he eventually died. The year after he died, his pal Swammer went to a seance and said, "Charlie, hey, Gary, can you hear me?" "Well, she is. Mary, it's Charlie. I'm over here." "He said, what you like?" "He said, fantastic, fantastic. Get up about 9 a.m. Eat. Go and have some sex. More eat. More sex. 2 hours kip. Get up. More food. More sex. More food. More sex. 4 hours kip." "This is always great. This is. I can't wait to get to heaven." "He said, heaven? I'm a rabbit in Australia."
"I am St. Peter. If you wish to enter heaven, you must ask some questions for me."
"All right."
"While you were on earth, did you ever gamble, drink, or smoke?"
"Nope."
"Did you ever lie, swear, cheat, or steal?"
"Nope."
"Were you promiscuous?"
"Nope."
"Tell me, what kept you so long?" "There were two mates who were absolutely mad on football, and they went to the local club's match every Saturday and turned out themselves on Sundays. Then, unfortunately, one of them was killed in a car crash. His mate was desolated, and after a few weeks, went to a seance to make contact with his dead friends. He got through quite easily." "How are you doing?" he asked.
"Well, I'm in tangents,"
he said. "I've got some good news and some bad news."
"Oh?
What's the good news?" "Well, the good news is the football here is really terrific. Just terrific. Beautiful pitches, lovely surfaces, lots of pictures. Heaven's got a real great team." "Oh, what's the bad news?" "You're playing tomorrow."
"Everyone seems to have their own definition of heaven. It's surprising how often you hear sentences which begin, 'My idea of heaven is...'" "This is one from the Reverend Sidney Smith's friend."
"Luttrell's idea of heaven is eating pâté de foie gras to the sound of trumpets."
"Elbert Hubbard seemed to agree with him on this point."
"Heaven is largely a matter of digestion."
"And here is Ambrose Bierce's definition:
'A place where the wicked cease from troubling you with talk of their personal affairs, and the good listen with attention while you expound your own.'"
"Mind you, only a privileged few actually seem to have a direct line to heaven."
"There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. So what did Noah do?" "So, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He's making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. Vrooba, 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 vrooba. Noah. Somebody call? Vrooba, vrooba, vrooba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah." Get some wood, build it, 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world to collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this real? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on Kansas camera?
Bill Cosby. How one actually gets to heaven is a question that's taxed the intellect of many thinkers over the years. Mark Twain had a fairly cynical view.
Heaven goes by favor. If it went by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in.
Mary Wilson Little was not much more optimistic.
If a man is only a little lower than the angels should reform.
Here's a caution from Leo Rostock.
God may help those who help themselves, but the courts are rough as hell to shoplifters.
Yet many people still believe that the proper way to heaven is leading a life of virtue and prayer. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are prayers for many different occasions. Here's one for civil servants, which was published anonymously some years ago in the Daily Telegraph.
O Lord, grant that this day we come to no decisions. Neither run we into any kind of responsibility. That all our doings may be ordered to establish new departments forever and ever. Amen. O thou who seest all things below, grant that thy servants may go slow, that they may study to comply with regulations till they die. Teach us, O Lord, to reverence committees more than common sense, to train our minds to make no plan and pass the baby when we can. So when the tempter seeks to give us feelings of initiative, or when alone we go too far, chastise us with a circular. Mid war and tumult, fire and storms, give strength to law to deal out forms. Thus may thy servants ever be a flock of perfect sheep for thee.
Yes, indeed, Minister. But in all discussions of heaven, one should remain aware of the power of the Almighty.
Good morning, Mr. Golightly. My name is Prevost Bertensby, and I'm your counselor.
Good morning, dear sir. In the trouble of milk, please.
Good morning. I just want to ask you one or two questions, and I must emphasize that you must be completely frank with me. You see, I must be in possession of all the facts if I'm to go up into court and plead your innocence. So you must be frank with me.
Yes, sir.
Now, dear, I want to begin by asking you whether you, in fact, committed the crime of which you're accused.
Oh, yes, sir. I did, sir.
Ah. I don't think you can have understood me quite. You must be completely frank with me. There's no need to pretend that you committed the crime if, in point of fact, you didn't. I'm going to ask you again, did you commit this offense?
No, sir.
I'm so glad you've come out into the open with me.
Right off my mind, too, sir.
Good. Now then, you've been accused...
And wrongfully and wickedly accused, sir.
Wantonly accused, yes, sir. Of loitering with intent to commit a felony. Now then, Mr. Golightly...
Call me Finger, sir.
Fingers. Now, that's an unusual nickname, isn't it? Why are you called that? Is it perhaps something to do with your hands?
Yes, sir. I'm told, sir, I have very artistic fingers.
Yes, sir. The hands of an artist or a sculptor.
Yes, sir.
Well, then, fingers. Have you any idea what your defense is going to be?
Well, no, you didn't do it, sir.
Yes, well, I think we can afford to fill that out a little. It's not in itself a cast iron defense.
But I didn't do it, sir. I didn't do it. I swear I didn't do it. And if I did it, may God strike me dead on the spot, sir.
Well, we'll just give him a moment, sir.
Alan Bennett and John Fortune. The problem about heaven is that for most of us, before we get there, there's the awkward business of death to get over. In the words of Woody Allen.
I don't mind dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Then, of course, there's the funeral. Here's an anonymous observation on funeral marches.
Most funeral marches start gloomy, seem to cheer up in the middle and become gloomy again. I suppose the idea is, one, the poor old boy's dead. Two, well, after all, he's probably gone to heaven. Three, still, anyhow, the poor old boy's dead.
Still, even in facing death, some people remain realistic. Here's an 18th century anecdote recalled by Horace Walpole.
The reprobate Lord Ross, being on his deathbed, was desired by his chaplain to call on God. He replied, I will if I go that way, but I don't believe I shall.
Yes, deathbed scenes are bound to be harrowing.
Mama, I haven't got much time left. And before I go, I want to tell you that after I'm gone, you should give the store to our son, Jack.
But, Papa, you know Jack. He always wanted to make changes. He'll run it down. Daddy, you should give it to Joey.
Okay, Mom. But the house in the country should go to our daughter, Ethel.
Papa, why does Ethel need that big house? They have no children. She'll never use it. Daddy, you should give it to Darwin.
Okay, Mom. But the new car, I would like for Freddy to have.
Freddy? But, Papa, you know how crazy Freddy is with his reckless driving. And with the girls. Daddy, you should give the car to Jack.
Mama, who's dying, you or me?
Also from the LP, you don't have to be Jewish. It's not surprising that there are many references to heaven in churchyards. Tombstones bear witness to what people have thought about heaven over the years. So let's hear a few epitaphs. First, one from the churchyard of Mylaw, near Falmouth.
Alas, friend Joseph, his death was almost sudden. As though the mandate came direct from heaven. His foot did slip and he did fall. Help, help, he cried. And that was all.
No one from Chichester.
Here lies the mother of children seven, four on earth and three in heaven. The three in heaven preferring rather to be with mother than stay with father.
Finally, a famous anonymous one.
Mary Ann has gone to rest, safe at last on Abraham's breast. It may be nuts for Mary Ann, but it's certainly rough on Abraham.
Most people like the idea of eternal bliss. Some of them hedge their bets on their chances of achieving it. Here's a line from Bob Hope.
I want to tell you. I do benefits for all religions. I'd hate to blow a hereafter on a technicality.
Yes, a study of comparative religions can be very rewarding.
Do you believe in God, actually?
Oh, I'll tell you, we are in a tight spot, you know. I feel myself... God, please help me out, if you're there. Yeah. If you do help me out, I believe in you. And thank you very much. I know you're there for future reference.
Yeah, I have a similar attitude. Whenever I feel ill, you know, I've got a dose of flu, I'll say a little prayer.
Yeah.
I'll say, dear God in heaven, if you're there, heed my prayer.
Yeah.
If you're not there, don't take any notice. If you are, make me better by Tuesday at 12 o'clock and I'll know you've done it and I'll promise to be good forevermore and believe in you. Of course, the trouble is when you get better, you don't know whether it's because God's done it or whether you would have got better in any case. There's no real way of telling why he's up to or even if where he is.
I can't tell, can you, though?
I often wish he'd manifest himself a bit more, you know, on the sky.
Yeah, it'd be nice if... You know, every now and again, she parts the clouds in the golden burst of sunshine, kisses us away, you know. Hello, I'm here. You believe in me, you know.
Hello, believe me, I'm God.
Yeah,
you'd know where you were.
I asked the Reverend Stevens about this, Father Stevens, and he said, much as God would like to keep manifesting himself, he dared because it debases the currency, you see. He can't appear more than once every 2 million years. He can't go around to football matches and fates and everything. Otherwise, I think, you know, he's debased in some way. So once a million years, if we're lucky. Of course, you know, actually, Pete, I often wish that I'd never been told about God at all, you know, because it means you can't get away with nothing. Yeah. I mean, you're told about him, you know, he's there, or he's big, he's there. And you don't know, you know, you can't really look about then, can you?
You can't.
No. I mean, what about them people who haven't been told about God?
Well, I have to have this statement, sis. And he said, if you haven't been told about God, Dad, you're laughing. If you don't know good from evil, then you're away. You can do anything you bloody well like. It's wonderful.
You see, I think in that place, you see, Pete, it'd be a crime to tell people about God, you see.
Well, I've never told any about God, Dad. I haven't told anyone.
I haven't mentioned it to a soul, Pete. I think I have a plan, St. Paul. St. Paul's got a bloody letter to
started it, didn't he?
All those letters he wrote.
To the
Fiskins.
You know, dear
Fiskins,
stop enjoying yourself. God's about
the place. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Quite what goes on in heaven has had people speculating for a long time. One of the speculators was Jonathan Swift.
What they do in heaven, we are ignorant of. What they do not, we are told expressly. They neither marry nor are given in marriage.
And here's an observation on the same subject by Agnes Repplier.
A genteel Philadelphia lady once crisply remarked that there are no marriages in heaven because they give you...
Women were there, no doubt, in plenty, but not a man whom any woman could have had. Another thought from Lily Tomlin.
There will be sex after death. We just won't be able to feel it.
But of course, it's what people were like on Earth that tends to concern the survivors as they come back from the funeral.
It was a good funeral.
Yes, we give him a good send-off.
Yes.
No man could want more.
No.
He was a good man, George. We won't see his like again.
Sort of, yeah. George, yes, he was.
Funny he never married.
Yes. Who?
George.
Oh, yes.
Not that he never had his chance.
Oh, when he was young, oh, man, like that. Oh, could have had any girl he chose. He was good looking enough. Yes, he was. Almost too good looking. Oh, my God. And big blue eyes. Yeah. And them dimples. Yeah. And that's a cool girl complexion of each. No. Could have had any girl he chose. Oh, no. I like that.
Thank you both very much.
Funny, he never married.
Yes, funny that.
Still, he had his compensation.
I suppose he did, yes.
Other interests. Scouting.
He was very keen on scouting.
He loved scouting. Even in his later years, he'd only have to see a troop of scouts go by, and his eyes would light up.
Yes.
Yeah. I never married.
Yes.
That's
funny,
that,
yes.
He was a funny chap in any way, when you think about
it. What?
The way he walks.
Oh, yes. Funny. With his hips.
The way he walks.
Yes. Oh.
And his voice.
Yes.
Which sounds to the point of
falsehood. Indeed, and still...
Oh, that was funny, yes. He was funny.
He was
funny. Kind.
Oh, very kind.
Kind.
Oh, he was kind.
Kind. Kind. Oh, kind.
Oh, yeah.
Almost too kind, he was. He let himself be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
I never knew him turn a stranger away from his door. There was always a bed in his house for any waif or stray, yeah? Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, yeah.
Especially, sir.
He likes
yes, I never knew him to turn a sailor.
Never a sailor. Oh, often they didn't even have to come to him. Really? Well, he'd go out looking for them, you know. Never spared yourself. Funny you never married. Man like that.
He'd have made a good husband.
Oh,
he would be a very good husband.
Oh,
no game.
Oh, he'd have made a good husband. There's no game saying that. He could cook.
He could sew.
He could knit.
Yeah. He could arrange flowers.
Oh, his house was always like a new thing.
Like a shiny new thing.
New thing. Yeah. Funny you never married. He was happy, man.
Oh, he was happy.
Oh,
he was happy.
Yes, he was happy. Yes. Never happier than when he was dressing up.
Theatrical streak, I suppose.
I suppose. How he loved that mother of pearl inside of me.
Almost broke his heart, it did, when he left it on the bus.
He loved dressing up.
Yes, he did.
All in all, it's funny you never married.
Funny? You never married?
Marty Feldman and Tyndall Taylor. That's the best way to find the route to heaven, is to listen to a good sermon.
As I was on my way here tonight, I arrived at the station, and by an oversight, I happened to go out by the way one is supposed to come in. And as I was going out, an employee of the railway company had... Hey, Jack, you shouted. Where do you think you're going? That, at any rate, was the gist of what he said. You know, I was grateful to him. Because, you see, he put me in mind of the kind of question I felt I ought to be asking you here tonight. Where do you think you are going? Very many years ago. When I was about as old as some of you are now, I went mountain climbing in Scotland with a friend of mine, and there was this mountain, you see, and we decided to climb it. And so, very early one morning, we arose and began to climb. All day, we climbed. Up, and up, and up. Higher, and higher. Until the valley lay very small below us, and the mists of the evening began to come down, and the sun to set. And when we reached the summit, we sat down to watch this magnificent sight of the sun going down behind the mountains. And as we watched, my friend, very suddenly and violently, vomited. Some of us think life's a bit like that. But it isn't. Life, you know, is rather like opening a tin of sardines. We're all of us looking for the key. And I wonder how many of you here tonight have wasted years of your life looking behind the kitchen dresser that we like for that key. I know I have.
I'll just think they're fun, the key, don't they? They roll back from the edge of the sardine tin of life. They reveal sardines, the riches of life therein. And they get them out, they enjoy them. But you know, there's always a little bit in the corner you can't get.
Alan Bennett. Almost perfect, isn't it? I'm afraid that's almost it. Our time in heaven is up. Let's finish with an anonymous verse called Predestination, which expresses perhaps what too many religions think about heaven.
We are the precious chosen few. Let all the rest be damned. There's only room for one or two. We can't have heaven crammed.
Till the next time, thank heavens, from Alfred and me. Goodbye.
Don't say that!
Muir goes into heaven with Frank Muir and Alfred Marx, and so is written by Simon Brett and produced by Richard Edith.